A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. If physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house here this morning, as always. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Before we get into rookie league actual betting thoughts, so in case you missed it, and this happened, I guess the reports came right after we got off the air yesterday morning, but Victor Wembanyama and his detail. Is that what we use now, Kelly? His detail?
Security detail,
yes. His entourage. They were headed into catch over at the Aria, which is literally like a 9-iron away from where I live. Like, I've probably walked that spot 10 times a week for the last 6 years.
I'm looking at new pictures provided by TMZ. Gil Alexander not featured.
Not featured.
Yes, not featured.
We were at the Italian-American Club with Felica that night. Yeah. So we were not on the premises. So Britney Spears, yes, Britney Spears. This is such a Vegas story.
It's such an NBA offseason story and such a Vegas story.
And I won't even go through the deals because it's not that important. But depending on who you believe, Britney Spears, you know, she claims to have barely, you know,
tapped his shoulder. Which I'm questioning that.
Wembanyama says his like back was sort of tugged at. I don't know what he said exactly, but the bottom line is, Wembanyama's security, which was referred to in the first TMZ article as the Spurs security. So that's a little question. We don't really know that either.
TMZ's follow-up today does it's the head of team security.
Okay, so that's different because then you can't really go off on some young kid who's now got this new job, you know, protecting Victor Wembanyama. It's the Spurs guy. And he went ahead and slapped Britney Spears, by all accounts. And again, depending on what you believe, either they made up while in catch the restaurant at the Aria, and then Britney Spears went ahead and charged him anyway afterwards. And the Las Vegas police is taking this seriously.
Yeah, she has filed charges, yeah. And they are apparently police are meeting with her again this morning to discuss it further.
Anyway, it has nothing to do with anything.
Just that
summer league.
But she had some comment about not getting any kind of apology, and then Wembanyama did record a sort of apology, just because I think I kind of feel bad for him, Gil, because I don't think he has any idea what happened.
He has no idea what happened.
Like, by all accounts, there was a massive crowd of people, and he's kind of just getting through it.
Who knows if he even knows who Britney Spears is?
That we were talking about that downstairs.
Who knows?
Crunch the numbers on that math.
Who knows if this... Her
fame window had far surpassed by the time he was even born.
Who knows if the Spurs security person even recognized those Britney Spears? The best part of the story, we'll leave it at this, there were reports that she... said to have screamed in a British accent. Have you heard this part of the story?
No, I did not hear that part.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Apparently, he tapped him on his back or the right shoulder. First of all, you know, trying to catch his attention. Like, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. And then got slapped. And then in a louder British accent, this is effing America. So I don't know.
That's a very odd detail.
So Summer League begins today, and Wembanyama will play for the Spurs. It's Brandon Miller versus Victor Wembanyama head-to-head, the Hornets and the Spurs. That is the big one, 6 p.m. Eastern. Excuse me, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern from Thomas and Mack. And Summer League has, again, 11 days of basketball, 76 total basketball games. And the format, again, every team will play 4 games. Then the 4 best teams, and there are tiebreakers involved, head-to-head being the first one. The best 4 teams will get to the final 4. They will play a 5th and 6th game, 6th if they get to the championship. All the other teams that have played 4 but didn't make the final 4 will get a 5th game added. That's the format of Summer League, all 30 teams represented. And if you go, you can bet on these everywhere, or most shops, I shouldn't say everywhere, but NBA Summer League. Only one of the last 5 champions entered the competition as favorites. That was the Lakers in 2017. And over the last 4 years, no team with odds shorter than 12-1 has won. 2 of the last 3 winners were 30-1 when the event tipped off. Thank you to theScore for compiling that. Now, this is at Caesars. The Oklahoma City Thunder are your short shot at 6-1. Could they be the team that bucks that latest trend and becomes sort of like the Lakers in 2017? And the reason I say could they be that team, because the Thunder, Kelly, will have Chet Holmgren in uniform, and they will have both Jalen Williams in uniform.
Yeah, Trey Mann's been playing incredible.
Trey Mann will be there, too.
In their few games, Cason Wallace they'll finally get. He will play in Vegas, hasn't played for the team yet, as the trade details we're going through from draft night. Like, they're the rightful short shots, Gil, with all those guys they're rolling out there. The question is, and this is a question every summer league, with some of these guys that especially have played already, of how many games are they going to play? How long are they going to play?
Which is where depth comes into play, mm-hmm. because of what you're saying, the more it becomes just a body count if you have depth, which, by the way, is why the second shot, the Trailblazers at +850, and they will have Scoot Henderson playing from Vegas Ignite, Chris Murray from Iowa, Shaedon Sharpe is playing for the Blazers. He averaged just under 10 points his rookie season. But they don't have depth like OKC does. So even though they're top heavy, would you make a bet on the Blazers? By the way, for those who care about such thing, the Blazers have won 2 of the last 4 summer leagues. So as an organization, they appear to care. So that's +850 on the Blazers. So throw that in the mix. And then the Pistons, who are the only other one in single digits. Pistons are deep too. Jaden yeah. Ivey, Jalen Duren, Asur Thompson, James Wiseman, all playing. Their starting lineup might be Ivy, Thompson, Marcus Sasser, Duren, Wiseman. You know who else might play? Isaiah Livers might play.
Little Buddy Boeheim action.
Oh, Buddy Boeheim.
Did you say Wiseman? Yeah,
I did.
Wiseman's on that roster.
Yeah, I did.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how much Jaden Ivey plays and Shaedon Sharpe. I mean, those guys were two big draftees from last year. Had decent rookie seasons. The question is, are they going to get a lot of run this summer league or a short amount? Otherwise, if I knew for sure, those two teams would be catch my eyes. The teams that I wrote down that I would have even – the only teams I feel like I could bet, and yes, they're shorter shots.
But you do agree that those three should be the short shots.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thunder, Blazers, yes. Pistons.
The teams I wrote down that I could even make a case for betting, Blazers, Pistons, Rockets, Pacers, Thunder, Jazz.
Well, the Rockets are interesting because I was going to bring them up too. The Rockets are 16-1. If it doesn't come from the top three, despite what those historical numbers I mentioned are, the Rockets appear to be that team because the Rockets will have Amen Thompson, who of course was drafted 4th. Remember, Cam Whitmore slipped to them at 20. He's playing. Jabari Smith, who was the number 3 pick in the draft last year, he's playing. They don't have much depth, though.
It's not a lot of depth. So you're going to have those three and Tari Eason, who played last year a lot of minutes, too, for that team. Question is, okay, not a lot of depth, and how much are you going to see of Jabari Smith and Tari Eason, considering they played as much as they did last year? I would expect you're going to see a ton of Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore, because we're talking about one guy who slid in the draft in Cam Whitmore, but everybody loves his upside. And then Amen Thompson, just like his brother Asar, man, I think they need all the playing time they can get.
Oh, yeah. The other team I want to mention was the Kings. The Kings are listed at 14-1, and those who are paying close attention to Summer League, before they play in Las Vegas, they play in Sacramento. And Keegan Murray just scored a combined 70 points in 2 games in the Sacramento Summer League, and the Kings beat the Warriors and the Heat. However, Keegan Murray will not play in Vegas. So that's a development there for the Kings. They just announced that this morning.
See, like, that's the stuff you got to look out for. And I would be very careful with that, checking with the Thunder on that before Las Vegas stuff gets started.
So this falls, you know, we talk about it all the time when we talk drafts, when we talk everything sports betting on this show, which is there's different, right? I just gave you a tennis pick. It's all based on data. Not all, but most of it is based on the numbers itself. That's how I do tennis. Kelly does golf, modeling it. This is really an information grab, right? It's like you got to know who's going to play the most, whatever you can glean in terms of playing time. It's not the easiest thing in the world with Summer League, right? To get a straight answer on that from game to game. But those, what we just went through, those are generally the teams that are the most stacked, and it's reflected in the odds. And yes, long shots have hit, but I really feel like the Thunder, Blazers, or Pistons, I kind of feel like, and I would throw in the Rockets, But I feel like the champ is likely to come from that group.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you make a heavy wager? I mean, 6-1 plus 850 plus 950 and 14-1 Thunder, Blazers, Pistons, Rockets, 16-1 Rockets. Would you make a heavy bet on one of those?
In full transparency, Gil, I'll probably bet two of these, but I'm going to be out there basically all week next week. That's a large part of the reason. If I was sitting at home, I don't know that I would be. I'd probably be taking it. I mean, I'd be watching it anyways, but betting-wise, I'd probably just be taking it game to game looking for information that you can
looking
get
for information. Or, you know, if you're lucky enough to attend one of these games, there might be an in-play opportunity here or there, if you know what I mean. If you hear what I'm screaming, you hear what I'm putting down, serious sports bettors. We'll come back. Paul Carr on the Gold Cup and the Women's World Cup, where the U.S. is looking good by all accounts. We'll see what Paul thinks next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've already released our NFL Betting Guide. Our NFL Betting Guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 to get your digital copy of the VSiN NFL Betting Guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special to get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Well, at the risk of sounding like we're doing gossip all morning with the Britney Spears, Victor Wembanyama thing, Brooks Koepka and Matthew Wolf, or should I just say Brooks Koepka?
Yeah.
So apparently, Liv, for those who have been following this, apparently Brooks Koepka's team is called Smash GC. And apparently there's a rift between Koepka and Matthew Wolf. And it's past the point of no return. So Wolf shows up in London. There's an event outside of London off of a 44th place finish in Spain. It's his fifth consecutive poor showing, which includes a withdrawal from the event in D.C. in May and prior to the final round where he was 46th out of 48 players after 36 holes. So Koepka launches into him. Quote, I mean, when you quit on your round, you give up and stuff like that. That's not competing. The Smash GC captain said to Sports Illustrated, I'm not a big fan of that. You don't work hard. It's very tough. It's very tough to have even like a team dynamic when you've got one guy that won't work. One guy's not going to give any effort. He's going to quit on the course, break clubs, gets down, bad body language. It's very tough. I've basically given up on him. A lot of talent, but I mean, the talent's wasted. It's your boy.
Tell us how you feel, Brooks.
Go get your boy, Brooks Koepka. And as you pointed out off air, Kelly, said,
it's, I mean, like, whoever all of us, we all saw that Brooks Koepka was going to play on a team of any kind. Like,
that's right.
Pick the worst person in sports to play on a team. Like, it so has bad. To be Brooks Koepka. Like, that guy's out to win no matter what. The only thing that's kind of bad about this is, like, Matthew Wolf, just to put this in perspective, like, an amazing talent a few years ago, had everything in front of him. He took a break from the game to deal with some anxiety issues and mental health
and
issues.
And Koepka's launching
into
him.
And Koepka's just going at him. So maybe Brooks doesn't know about some of that stuff, but...
Or maybe he's just Brooks.
Or maybe he's just Brooks, yep.
Yeah. So, things are great on the Live Tour. That's your Live update,
that's your
everybody.
Live update.
Let's talk some soccer. Paul Carr joins us from the heart of the country, Topeka, Kansas. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast, works at True Media Sports. How you doing, Paul? Good to see you, man.
I'm good, Gil. I was actually at the Aria when I was at the Different Nations League, but I was too early for all the drama, unfortunately.
Yeah, man, we all missed it.
Goodness.
Yeah, boy, what a Vegas story that is.
It's so Vegas.
I hope those kids work it out.
That's right.
Okay, here's the first question. And again, this is let's act like, what's the old Denzel Washington line in Philadelphia? Explain this to me like I'm a two-year-old. Explain the Gold Cup to us like we're all two-year-olds. What is this?
This is the Continental Championship for CONCACAF, so North Central America and the Caribbean. It's the North American equivalent of Euros or Copa America. It's all the 30-some-odd teams in this region playing for a title.
Okay, but why did then we look up at a screen the other day and see Qatar playing in this? Or someone, didn't we see Qatar playing in this?
Yeah, they brokered some kind of deal to participate in a couple of these. Not totally unusual. You know, South America does it sometimes to get to a round number of teams for tournament purposes. I mean, there were definitely bags of money involved, you know, with the World Cup and all things like that. But yeah, they've done a couple of these.
That makes sense now. Okay, well, there's Cotter in the odds to win the Gold Cup, the CONCACAF Gold Cup, where Mexico is the short shot. They have been the short shot in many years past. They're plus 125. USA, that's us, Paulie. We're plus 275, plus 275 on USA. Canada, 7-1, and Panama, the only other side in single digits at 9-1. Jamaica, Costa Rica, Qatar, and Guatemala also listed on the page if you're watching at vsin.com or the VSIN app right now or wherever you can see us. So there's a bet here, sir?
If you can get Jamaica at a better price, and I've seen 16-1s out there this morning, that I think is kind of appealing. Jamaica's got a whole front line of players from the Premier League, you know, that and they have some dudes is kind of the what we would say in other sports. They've got dudes. They've got guys. They drew the U.S. In the group stage. You know, I'm not saying they're the best team left, but at that kind of price, even though they probably have to get through Mexico and the U.S., they've got the guys that could do it. You're taking a shot, of course, but they've got a good coach. They've got some good talent. This is their, you know, best chance to make a run.
And who would when would they if they got out of the group stage, when do they play Mexico?
So they would play Mexico in the semis. So semis. Quarters are coming up next, okay. And the semis is where they would presumably run to Mexico, assuming both win, and then the U.S. would potentially be in the final.
So you're not talking much about the USA. What's the deal with our side here?
I mean, they're right priced at the second favorite. This is not the A team. This is not the same guys that played in Nations League. Very few of these guys play in Europe. So most of these guys are MLS based. It's kind of it's a B team. You know, if the U.S. had a World Cup to play tomorrow, there'd be a few guys from the squad that would make it. But generally, this is not the best U.S. team, and Mexico is closer to full strength than the U.S. is.
That explains it. Okay. Do we have a single game pick perhaps here?
I do like in the USA quarterfinal coming up on Sunday. U.S. is playing Canada. I like under 2.5 at minus 120 or so. Canada is just kind of a bit more of a conservative team. And they don't have their full roster either, but their best players in Europe are all in the attacking side, and most of those guys aren't here. So I expect Canada to kind of keep it tight, try to steal a goal, which is what Canada usually does. They just don't have the talent to do that they often do. And the U.S., kind of a similar boat where, you know, they're a decent team. Scoring's a little bit of a question mark, even though they piled up a lot of goals in the group stage. So I think it'll be pretty tight. I like under 2.5 at minus 120.
Okay, let us shift to the Women's World Cup because a little less than 2 weeks from now, this will be the biggest global sporting event going. And it's the USA that is the short shot at plus 250. England, Spain, Germany, France coming in right behind the USA. Before we get into specifics of what you're betting here, just sort of give us the overall sort of thumbnail of the U.S. Women's World Cup, when it starts, when these matches will actually be played stateside.
Yep. Yeah, so it starts on the 20th, July 20th. It's in Australia and New Zealand, so obviously your time zones are basically flipped. Now, they have manipulated the schedule to help the U.S. out a bit. So the first two U.S. games are going to be at 8 p.m. Central Time, I believe. So, you know, not terrible. Basically prime time. That's great. Now, the third U.S. game is a little bit weird because they have to play those simultaneously. So that's going to be at like 2 a.m. Central or midnight out there, which I guess is not awful for Vegas.
Right.
And then the knockout stage will depend on where the U.S. goes. If they win the group, I think the first knockout game is at a kind of prime time here in the U.S. So, yeah, but the times are going to be wacky. Most of the games, U.S. and some of the Western Hemisphere teams aside, are going to be in that early morning hours here in the U.S.
Yeah, Felica was here yesterday. He's headed there with Fox Sports.
Yeah.
He's going to Australia. He's going to Sydney. He's not sure if he's going to go to New Zealand for the couple of USA games. Okay, so I just mentioned the five sides that are in single digits to win it all. Does that seem right to you? And are there possibilities beyond that in your opinion?
Yeah, those five, maybe six, if you want to throw Australia in because they're hosting, those are kind of your short group of favorites. And yeah, that's about right. I mean, the weird thing is every one of these teams has major questions. Like the U.S. has a couple starters who are injured, not going to be there. England's got three or four starters from last year's Euros team that aren't going to be there because of injury. Spain has players who aren't there because they're fighting with the Federation. Germany has injuries. France has injuries. Like everyone's got like two, three decent sized question marks in the lineup. But yeah, those are the right teams. But on those top six, you know, there's another five, six teams that are kind of in that second cut that, you know, if they make a run, it's not too shocking. And then, you know, it just gets filled out with teams that you'd be pretty surprised if they got as far as the quarters of the semis.
though I think I probably can anticipate an answer to this question, because just like you have the great angle on some matches in the Premier League where you're like, just the better team. I'm betting the better team here. Yeah. You do tend to love one particular side when it comes to international tournaments. I'm wondering if we're headed that way here. What did you bet so far?
I've walked right into this one when I was out there. Kelly kind of roasted me for it, justifiably so. I didn't even realize it. It's just kind of like, hey, I've got a Germany future in this game.
Of course,
or
you
this
do.
Tournament, which, yes. Of course, I do. Yeah, but I like them to win. You know, they're plus 650 now. You can see get plus 750 some places still. Again, they have injuries like everybody else, but I think their midfield is really solid, and that's where they're not so injured. They were runners up at Euros last year to England. That went to extra time. So this is obviously a good team. They're deep, which matters at this tournament because you got four knockout rounds. So they're probably, you know, maybe the second deepest team after the US from, you know, like 1 to 23. So I like that. It's just it's a pretty good price. And yeah, it's a Germany future again, and I walked right into it.
Yeah. I have a little Germany too as well. I take no credit for it. Tim Lawson, who's coming on the show later, he recommended it as well. I feel a little dirty about it. I feel a little icky about it. So USA, it's just the price. You don't like plus 250. Like if someone came on right here, let's close with this. If someone said, yeah, but I want to root for my bet, I want to bet USA, would you tell them not to bet the plus 250? Like you just don't like that?
No, I think it's not bad. You know, okay. It's about right. You know, US is still the best team despite some injuries to Mallory Swanson, et cetera. They're still the best team here. And again, the depth is so big in a long tournament. That, yeah, if I'm putting my life on the line for a team, it's definitely the U.S. here. It's not a terrible price.
All right, well, that's something. By the way, USA to reach the finals, plus 130, to reach the semis, minus 140 at DraftKings to win their group, a hefty minus 350. Paul, thank you. Great seeing you, man. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on Baseball, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, Dan Weston in studio. Kelly Bidlin in the house as well. Dan Weston from Betfair at Tennis Ratings is where you can find him on Twitter. Also does stuff for Pinnacle, global iconic sportsbook that they are. We were just talking about something off air. I don't know where you were going with it, but I'm curious what you were about to say about tennis betting this year, I think you were about to say.
Yeah,
something.
The amount of random scenarios that have developed over this year in terms of, we were just talking about some tough beats and stuff like that. And the amount of times that, you know, you've had an even money pick and your players had more break point chances or won 51, 52% of points in the match and ended up losing. I mean, it's been a pretty brutal.
Pretty brutal year in that respect. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Just living through it, you kind of know that if you bet tennis enough. On serve here in the fourth set between Andy Murray and Stefanos Tsitsipas here early on. Okay, so I teased this before the break, and I'm curious about this because, listen, versus England, we're really young, not only in reality in terms of the time our country has been in existence, but also sports betting. 6 years since PASPA was ruled unconstitutional in this country and that we've had legalized sports betting. And some of the things, you know, in this country, some people anticipated, they predicted correctly how it would go. Some people didn't see certain developments coming. You know, one of the things is that a lot of legalized sports books will tend to, and I'll be kind about this, they're not really that interested in sharp action. They'll limit those players. By the way, they'll also limit players who they probably could have made a lot of money off long term, but they do it haphazardly. They're not as good profilers as they are offshore. And I'm just curious, your experience in England, Give us a sense of what that's like. What's similar, what's different?
It's so different. The landscape is completely different. So obviously here in Vegas, you've got an array of super casinos, huge properties, big sports books. If you want to get money on, you probably could, but you have to spread it around maybe. But that's still much more effective than being able to do that in England. In England, you've got what I call like high street bookmakers. So they're on like every street corner, Ladbrokes, Coral, William Hill, Betfred. Obviously, William Hill, Betfred are now coming into the American market, particularly William Hill. And they, if you want to get more than £100 on a tennis match, for example, or a horse, or whatever it might be, yeah, you're gonna struggle unless you're a regular.
More than £100.
Yeah, they have to phone through over. I think it's over £100. Yeah, they have to phone head office to take the bet. So you've got to spread the money around if you want to get on a half decent sum.
Well, let's talk about what we call soccer, which is obviously football. Globally is your most popular sport.
Mm.
If you wanted to put £1,000 on a soccer match,
uh-huh.
on a Premier League soccer match, is that an easy experience?
No. You could on Betfair exchange. That would be very straightforward, and you're probably going to get the best price, but you're paying commission if it wins. If you want to bet on it in a shop, a high street shop like a William Hill, I think it would be pretty tough. When I used to bet soccer a bit, and I was putting like, this is 15 years ago maybe, £300 on, and I could just about, that would be about the right amount of money to get on in a shop at that stage without causing too many alarm bells. If you want to get like £1,000 on, you're gonna have to go to 3, 4, 5 shops minimum. And they might even offer you a worse price for a big amount of money.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait. So there's a listed odds, right?
Yeah.
Study thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come in with an amount of money above what they deem comfortable, let's say, they'll switch it on you before you can even place the wager?
Yeah, especially if it's like the best price in the market.
Are there no regulations there to prevent that?
It's very weak.
That's wild.
Bro.
And wild. If you use a self-service terminal, you probably not going to get as good odds as well as if you went over the counter. So that anonymity aspect of it is difficult as well.
Wow. This is because we complain about a lot of stuff, but this sounds better than what I'm hearing right now.
Yeah.
What's another thing that we would be amazed by or surprised by?
Well, these shops in England, this studio would be bigger than the average shop.
The street corner shops. By the way, I've come into, I want to say it was a Ladbrokes, but don't hold me to that. And I remember betting summer baseball game in the summer because I wanted to. I was at Dr. Bob's wedding. We were in England. I said, let me bet a baseball game. They had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked about listed pitchers and all that. And they made it happen, by the way. It wasn't for a lot of money.
Did they have to phone through?
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Normal, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go on to the online market, which obviously is a lot more matured than the American online market because that's pretty deregulated in England, really. I would say that in terms of, companies are now starting to get fined for taking huge bets off people who can't afford it.
Ah.
So there's like affordability checks and stuff like that, which can be a good thing.
That's a nice thing.
Good thing and a bad thing, depending on your status of being a sharp or a square, basically.
Right, right. That's true.
Yeah. So there is that, but...
So getting back to the £1,000 soccer example, could I do that online with no problem, or it's the same thing?
It depends. If it's not the best price in the market, probably. If your account's not a winning account, probably. If either of those factors apply, then probably not. And the companies will restrict you for very, very little as well. You don't even have to win.
Yeah.
Like you can just you set up an account, your first 5 bets all beat the closing line.
Let's just say I had a good streak. Done.
You're done.
5-0, done.
Yeah. And you might not even win any of those 5. Just beat the closing line.
Oh, just CLV.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, can I just say this? At least they would do it on CLV versus just some rando going 5-0 on some horrible numbers. Neither is good, right?
Yeah.
But at least there's some logic to that.
Either scenario could apply.
Yeah.
Because I'd be that guy. If anything, I'd be that guy. It wouldn't be the 5-0 guy. I'd be the CLV guy.
Yeah, you're thousands down.
5, you're banned.
Thousands down and get restricted, yeah.
By the way, that's another thing about this Wimbledon. Like, CLV has mattered not at all. Like, we're 30 cents better than the close, and it doesn't matter in the end. I was going to ask something else, though, and now it slipped my mind. But The fascinating part about that is, so we have not only a network here talking about sports betting, we have podcasts about sports betting, and it's very common in the gambling Twitter space of podcasts, and people kind of generally know what I'm talking about with that loose umbrella, where we complain about such things, right? So we're saying, oh my God, you can't bet this much, you can't bet this much. Is it so, you know, is the culture there of betting so ingrained for so many years that voice is not even there, that it's snuffed out, that it's just, oh, this is just how it is, and we live with it?
Yeah, so I think that the average person who wants to, you know, bet £20 on the Grand National, which is the biggest horse race in England, once a year and that's it, they won't even see any of these problems that exist.
Right.
You know, they just go into the high street shop and put their £20 on, and if they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. And then the only other time they'll come back in the shop for the rest of the year is if they win and they want to go and pick up that the winnings from that bet.
Mm-hmm.
So the average person doesn't really see it. Sometimes, because the online stuff is so easy to be restricted, you do get some squares who are caught in the sort of firing line when it shouldn't be and get restricted as well. So that can happen too. So online is so difficult to be able to get consistent amounts of money on unless you use the exchange.
Has it caused you, and you don't have to give specifics here, Dan, but has it caused you and others, right,
yeah,
to have to be super adaptable and super creative and find other sort of revenue streams and that sort of thing because of that?
Yeah, you 100%
culture.
You have to.
Yeah.
And especially if you want to get like a mortgage or something in England, you definitely have to do that as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because you know, probably 20 years ago, you used to be able to self-certify an income to be able to get a mortgage. Those rules went out of the window. You can't do that anymore. So I missed the boat on that very slightly. So, yeah, you have to have...
You had a personal experience with that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I had a flat that I wanted to buy an apartment and was about £220,000. They wouldn't give me the mortgage right at the last minute. And now it's worth like $1 million. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
So that was probably 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it does happen.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if any of that makes us feel better about what we complain about, but it does give us a little perspective.
I'd rather be an American than an English person to bet.
You would absolutely rather.
Yeah.
Well said. All right. Well, a little perspective on the matter. It ain't just us. And maybe we have it better than others when all is said and done. Dan Weston, everybody, from at Tennis Ratings on Twitter, Betfair, and of course, Pinnacle Sports as well. Always great to see you, Dan. Thanks for stopping in as always. And we'll get something to eat here.
Absolute pleasure, Gil.
Dano at Tennis Ratings on Twitter. We've done all we can do for Kelly Bidlin. I'll be back on Monday. I will be here Monday. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.